The goal today is showing you the so-called method of projected gradient. And I will show how it fits in the scheme of feasible direction methods. And to do this, first, I have to talk to you about projections. The idea of the method is simple. I have my feasible region. Okay. I'm at the parent iterate xk. I would simply like to do a gradient step. Okay. So moving away to a new point along the direction which is given by minus the gradient, so that I end up in a point done this way. The trouble is, I may end up out of the feasible region. Okay? In my picture, you could say, well, take a short enough step, okay, and you will keep being in the region. But if my point is here, and minus the gradient lives here, okay, no matter how short I choose the step, I get outside the region. Okay? So, the idea is, okay, I end up outside the region. Somehow, I want to go back to the region through an operation which is called projection. Roughly, projection means I want to find the point in the region which is the closest to the point I'm considering. Okay? So, this will be somehow the basic idea, and then we will add a line search. But so we need to speak about projections over a convex set. Okay, so we have a subset over N, which is convex, and so I can consider I have a point Y in Rn, which is not in capital X. Okay. Otherwise, okay, I can take also the point to be in capital X, but the problem would be silly in that case. And I want to consider this problem. I want to minimize the distance of Y from the point X, which belongs to capital X. I want to find the closest point in X, capital X, to Y. Okay? So this is an optimization problem. Clearly, if Y belongs to X, the solution is obviously to take X equal to Y, okay? Because the distance would be zero, and it cannot be less than zero, okay? The standard way to solve this problem, so here our objective function is a norm. You have a translation and then you take the norm. The trouble with this function is that it is not differentiable at some point. So, to make it... They are checking on us. To make it... If I take the square of the norm, the problem doesn't change. Okay. The values change because they are all to the second power, okay? They are all squared. But the closest, since taking the power of the square of the positive number does not change the order. If a number is smaller than another, the square is smaller than the square of the other. It doesn't affect the problem of taking the square. Okay? We have already used this obvious idea for least square problems, for linear least squares. Okay? And then just to simplify the computation, we also multiply by a coefficient, one half as a coefficient, so that when we take derivatives we
don't have
coefficient 2 to take care of. So this is our objective function. Y is given, so given y, this is a function of x only.
Okay?
As a function of x only, let's see. Okay. This, we know, is a quadratic function. Okay? We can write it also component by component, we can write it each this way. Okay, so it's quadratic. Then, well, we can also take the derivative. If we take the derivative with respect to xj, xj comes only when I is equal to j, so we just have this, and this will turn out to be, you take the square down, it cancels with 1 half, and it remains xj minus yj. Okay? So if you take the derivative, you get this. So, if you take the gradient will be x minus y. If you take second order derivatives, you mean you want to take the derivative with respect to xi of this derivative, this is non-zero if and only if I is equal to j, and it's a linear function, so the Hessian matrix is the identity matrix. Okay? Which gives us valuable information, because the identity matrix is positive definite. Okay? Well, if the Hessian matrix at every point is positive definite, then the function is convex, but it is also strictly convex. Okay. So we know that f is convex, and particularly it is strictly convex. What is the relevance of strict convexity? One of the very first lectures during the first semester, gave us a very relevant result. If you minimize a strictly convex function over a convex set, there exists at most a unique minimum point. There exists at most a minimum point. Okay? If a minimum point exists, it is unique. Okay? So, if any solution exists, it is unique. Okay? And we could name it. The solution of this problem, we could name it.
Second question. Does the solution of this problem actually exist? I mean, does it exist always?
Well, there are a few ways to look at it. First way, if x goes to plus infinity, in the sense that the log of x goes to plus infinity, okay, the function goes to plus infinity. Okay? And so, and it is always greater or equal than zero. So it looks like that there has to be a solution. Just consider the case of one dimension. This would be a parabola. Okay? So it would be done this way. And we know that a minimum exists. Okay? But I prefer to show you it in another way. Let's take any point xx in capital X. Okay? Well, clearly, these two problems are absolutely equivalent. Because, I mean, let me show you a picture. You have x hat here, you have y here. Okay. The closest point to Y lies surely in the ball. Oh, no, this is terrible. Don't put it in like it. Take the region. Take any point here.
Okay.
And your point Y is here. Obviously, the closest point to Y in capital X is XX, or it is a point which is closer than XX. Okay? So it must lie in this ball, in this closed ball. Okay? Center at XX. And with the radius given by the distance between the two points. Okay? And to be precise, according to our notation, we took the closest. So, do you agree that with me that the closest point must be in this ball? Okay? Because all points which are outside this ball are farther from Y than any point in the ball. Okay? That any point, sorry, that, not that any point in the ball, then X hat. Okay? Why did I do this? Well, because this is a compact set. Okay? So that this is compact. Okay? So we are minimizing a continuous function over a compact set. Okay? One of the very first lectures in the first semester had Weierstrass theorem as a topic. Okay? I showed you that any continuous function as minimum, as a minimum and a maximum point over a compact set.
Okay?
Weierstrass theorem. So, Weierstrass theorem tells us that this problem has a minimum point. Okay?
The fact that F is strictly convex tells us that it is unique. Okay? So,
sorry, I said the very opposite of what I should have told you. The ball is now centered in Y, in X, it's centered in Y.
Okay?
So let me rephrase it and give you the picture correctly. This is Y. And this is the ball. Clearly, the closest point must be here, okay? Because this is the set of points which are closer to Y than X hat. I'm sorry. Then I mismatched X and Y hat. It doesn't change anything in our argument, okay? This is still a compact set, this is still a continuous function, a Weierstrass theorem applies. So, this point, this problem, has a unique solution, which is called by definition the projection over capital X on Y. So, the point which minimizes the distance, or the square of the distance, or one half the square of the distance from of Y, from any X in capital X, is called the projection of Y over capital X. All our discussion was to show you that this definition is well posed, that this definition makes sense, okay? Because this is a unique point. The RV is given by a unique point, and the projection is that unique point. We have two interesting problems. We have what's known. First of all, a characterization, and then an interesting property of projection. So, let's consider a fixed Y. Then, I provide you the following characterization of a projection. Y star is the projection over capital X of Y if and only if the scalar product between these two vectors is less answer equals in 0 for both x and capital X. So the scalar product between y minus its projection with x minus the projection has to be less or equal than 0. Let's have a geometric view of this condition. Okay. Suppose this is y. This is its projection. And this is any x in capital X. So the vectors are this one and this one. Okay? Non-positive scalar product means that this angle is greater or equal than 90 degrees. It's greater or equal than 1/2 pi. Okay? So the projection is completely characterized by this property. Okay? Take any x in the physical region, this angle has to be greater or equal than 90 degrees. Okay? The proof is very simple once we recall necessary and sufficient optimality conditions for this program. The projection is the unique minimizer of that problem. Okay. Do you remember optimality condition F? F is convex, capital X is convex, then X bar is a minimum point if and only if the scalar product is greater or equal than 0 for all x in capital X. Okay? This is what we proved a couple of lectures ago. Now, we apply this. What's f? You already said f is this function. And we make the computation, the gradient at some point is x minus 1. Okay? So here we are saying that y star is the minimum point. So by that optimality condition, it means that the gradient of f at y star for x minus y star is greater or equal than 0 for all x in y star. For all x, sorry, in capital X. But this is nothing but y star minus y, x minus y star greater or equal than 0 for all x in capital X, you simply multiply by minus 1 and you get this. Okay? So this is nothing but the necessary and sufficient optimality condition of that optimization problem. Okay. There's another useful property. Which states, well, you can consider the projection as a function, okay? You can see that the projection as the function that to each y, okay, associates its projection over capital X, okay? This is a well-defined function. Well, the property is that if you take 2 points, let's say U and V, you take the projection of the 2 points, you take the distance between the projections, this distance is less or equal than the distance between the 2 points. Okay? In words, you can say the projection is non-expanded. Or, in other words, you could say that the projection map is Lipschitz with constant equal to 1. Okay. Now the static is more fancy as it were. The proof of this statement is actually nothing more than applying this characterization twice. Okay? So let's call U star the projection of U and V star the projection of U. Okay? So, let's apply this result with U star, U, and Fx, we take Y star. No, V star. Okay? So, the point we want to project is U. So, the star travel between U and its minus its projection with as x we take v star minus the projected point v star is less or equal than 0. And then we do the same for the other projection. So v minus v star and as x we take u star. So the scalar product with u star minus v star is less or equal to this one. Okay? So we apply this twice. First time with u and u star as the point of the projection, and as x we take v star, and the second time we just switch the roles. Okay. One simple remark. We can suppose that the two projections are different. Why? If the two projections are the same, this is zero. Okay? So the statement is obviously true because it's saying that the distance between 2 points is greater or equal than zero. Okay? So we can also suppose that the two projections are different. Now, let me rewrite
The second on these conditions,
this one. So, as which this, the sign here, as which the sign here, in such a way that I am multiplying by minus one twice. Okay? And then I sum these two together, these two inequalities together. So, when I sum the two inequalities, here you have the scalar product with the same vector. Okay? So, what you get is that u minus u star plus v star minus v as scalar product with v minus u star less or equal than zero. Okay? I sum, here I have zero, and here, since the scalar product is with the same vector, I can put it together. Okay? Now, this once again I can write it, let's see, this is y minus y star, no, sorry, v star minus u star plus u minus v. Okay, now I can divide the scalar product. The scalar product of this with itself, it is the square of the norm. So this is v star minus u star norm square. And then I take the scalar plus the scalar product of u minus v with v star minus u star. Okay? This scalar product is negative, it means that this quantity is less or equal. I take this to the other side. I just write it v minus I just move this to the right-hand side. And moving, I have to change the sign, and I change the sign inside. Now I use the Cauchy's, the Schwarz inequality, that tells you that the scalar product of two vectors is more or equal than the product of the norms. Okay. So this is less or equal than the norm of v minus u times the norm of v star minus u star. Okay? And now the statement is proved. Since the two vectors v star and u star are not the same, I can divide both members by their norm. And what I'm left with is exactly our test. The distance between the two vectors is less or equal than the distance between the two points. So, up to now we have seen that the projection over a convex set is well defined. There exists a unique point which is the closest one in the set to the point. Then it can be characterized in this way, and geometrically it means that the angle between these two vectors is greater or equal than 90 degrees for all choices of x in the region. And also we prove that the projection is a non-expansive map. Okay? We will use these properties to show that the
projected gradient is a convergent map. Okay?
Now, after the break, I will be back to the projected gradient. So, I tell you again, we have a point, we perform an iteration of the gradient method, then
we project
the gradient, the obtained point on the physical region, okay, and then we will make a line search here. We will make a line search here. But my point now is the following. Well, my problem is I want to minimize f over the physical region. You are telling me that at each iteration you're trying to do a gradient step and then you take a projection. But what is a projection? A projection is solving this optimization problem, okay, which is very similar to this one. Okay. Here I have a generic f, here I have this particular f. Okay. So, it looks like that you are telling me that as a sub-problem, you want to solve a problem which is as difficult as the original problem. And sometimes it is.
Okay. So when is it reasonable to use this type of methods?
It is reasonable when computing a projection is, let's say, an easy job.
Okay?
When you can perform the projection quite easily. And there are some cases. On my yet Italian language notes, you have some example with all the formulas. Okay, I will just give you the idea for the pictures. Okay, first case.
Suppose you have a ball, and this is the center of the ball. Okay? Take a point Y outside the ball. Okay? How do you compute the projection? Well, you take the line which unites the point with the center, okay, and this is the and the intersection of the segment with the border of the ball is the projection. Okay. I am not Giotto, but I'm trying to give you the idea here of how it works. This is the ball of points which are closer than this point to Y. Okay? And you see that here the only intersection is the projection. So it's simple, okay? You have to write the equation of the line, okay, and then find
find the value for which the generic point of the line is exactly a distance r from the center. Okay? You can make the you can compute the formula. Another very, very easy situation. Suppose you have a half space. Okay? On the blackboard, dimension 2, a half plate. Okay? And suppose your point is here. How do you compute the projection? Once again, you take the line passing through y, which is orthogonal to the border of the half space. Okay? Generally, the coefficient of the equation that gives you this line is a vector, okay, which is orthogonal to the line. So you already have here the, and then you compute this point. Okay, if you are on this side, clearly you don't have to perform this because you are in the region, so the projection is the point itself. Okay, and once again on my notes you find the formula for it. Okay, there's a third case which is a bit more common than this, which is the case of the so-called box constraint. In R2 it means that you are dealing with a rectangle. Okay? In R2 it means that your region is a rectangle. Generally, these constraints are of this kind. Xi has to be between a lower bound Li and an upper bound Ui. Okay? For all I equal 1 to n. For n equal 2, it gives you a rectangle. So, here projections are easy as well because, okay, consider this area. If you are here, how do you project? You simply take the orthogonal line here and you move to this point. Okay? In the same way, if you are here, here, and here. Now, suppose you are here. Which is the projection? So, tell me, which is the projection if you are here? The closest point of the rectangle to this one. Yeah, it's the vertex. And the same way here, here, and here. Well, you can turn these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These 8 cases, okay, into a unique formula. And you have it as well. Because actually there are 2 cases. Or you are in one of these regions, in one of these 4 regions, or you are in one of these other 4 regions. Okay, so these are all situations where a projection is easy to compute. When you have to compute the projection over a polyhedron, which is the intersection of half spaces, of half planes in R2. You can do some more refined technique in which you project to just one of the planes, and then you take again the projection on the next one, and so on, and the procedure under some assumptions converts. Okay? So generally, spheres, boxes, unique linear constraints, or also polyhedron, are not difficult to deal with. Okay? And so in all these situations, it is reasonable to use one of these methods of this kind. Okay, I think we can take just 5 minutes break, and then I will give you the details of the projected gradient method, okay, and how it relates to feasible directions.